Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining the Legion of Writers podcast. This is our first podcast for 2023. I am your host, Laura E. Perez. I go by L.E. as well. And this year, I have a co-host, Gladys Perez. Gladys, please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Gladys Perez. I am Laura's sister, or L.E.'s sister. And my pronouns are she, her. I am a writer as well, a screenwriter and playwright. That's new. And an essay writer and blogger. That's old. And I'm an actor, a career coach. What else? A resume writer. I do all kinds of things. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure some of you are wondering why I went the co-host route. And part of that is because it takes a little bit of the weight off of me. And it helps me to actually have a conversation with folks when it's not just me interviewing someone. So this way, when we do interview folks, we can interview in tandem. Gladys can be interviewing them. I can be interviewing them. Mm-hmm. Or we can have folks come on and do readings as well. So I am really looking forward to this format this year. Thank you so much for joining us, Gladys.
I am so happy to be here.
Well, thank you. So I haven't posted a podcast in a while. You know, life kind of got away from us in 2022. Mm-hmm. And it's been, you know, we've had highs and lows and, you know, we're sisters. So we've been through a lot this past year. But in terms of our writing journey, because that's what a lot of folks come here for. It's about writing and it's about learning new things or relearning old things that we have forgotten how to do. What are some of the things that you struggled with in 2022 as it pertains to your writing?
I think that one of the main things is consistency. Mm-hmm. Finding consistent, you know, time to write, or, you know, making it a practice, you know, really, really cultivating that practice. But what I also have trouble with in general is finishing. So I'll get through, you know, a 3-act pilot and I get to act 2 and then I never finish it. And I have an outline that finishes the pilot. Like, I am in the middle of 2 pilots right now, and it's really tough. And both of them, one of them is an hour long, like a dramedy, an hour long dramedy. And the other one is a half hour comedy. And both of them are just really tough to finish. Yeah, so it's a funny thing. And the third thing that I would say that I had trouble with was imagining myself doing something that was so out of range. And so towards the end of the year, what was it, maybe October? So in the last quarter of the year, a playwright friend of mine told me that she was teaching a solo show writing workshop. And even better, it was free. But I had to apply. So it was a funny thing, because I applied with my screenwriting, and they wrote back and said, no, actually, you need to apply with playwriting. And I was like, well, I've never written a play. They said, even one page. Well, just take one page. And I kind of panicked, and I don't know what to write. And so a friend of mine, we just kind of jotted things down and just kind of riffed a bit. In, you know, verbally, and you know, made some notes, and she said, he goes, why don't you start from this sentence and see where you go? And I ended up writing 3 pages and I got in. So it was a really scary thing, and it was about our mom. So
yeah,
which was
that's a story unto itself.
yes.
Wow.
What about you?
Well, for me, it was the move. We made a big transition. We moved back from Florida to Virginia. And that kind of unsettled a lot of things, like a lot of patterns, a lot of things that had been consistent no longer were. Mm-hmm. Location was different. Just the whole feel of everything was different. And it was really hard to get back into the rhythm of doing that and still taking care of everything that had to be taken care of, because, you know, we're still people. We may be writers, we may be authors, playwrights, screenwriters, you know, novel writers, poets, but we still have lives. We have families. We have, you know, things that we have to get done. We have responsibilities that sometimes will coincide with our writing and meld beautifully. And other times it just kind of goes right in our faces.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what happened with me. I kind of fell off the beaten path and I fell behind on some things because I'm co-writing with someone, you know that, with my friend Mandy. And I co-write with her. And I, in some ways, I feel like I let her down because I didn't complete as much as I should have. And at the same time, I'm really proud of myself because I did meet the one deadline that we needed to meet. Mm-hmm. But I also had to write 30,000 words in a week to get it done. All that did was prove to me, though, that I could do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So all that procrastinating, if I could just apply myself that way, all that procrastinating, I could put out 8-9 books a year as opposed to 2 or 3.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so my goal this year is going to be a little different. So it mm-hmm. I feel like I'm finding my my path right now,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
or rediscovering it at least.
Awesome.
You know, because we tried to work on the consistency thing too. Yes. And we were going back and forth. And it's like, oh my God, like, you know, well, I can meet now. Well, I can meet in a half hour. Well, how about 45 minutes? Shoot. Let's just put it off for next week. Okay. Yeah. I'm so tired. How about Thursday? Okay. Well, today's Tuesday. Okay. Saturday. God damn it. So if nothing else, it did teach me that life is going to happen. What is it they used to say in the one show and stuff? Life's a bitch and then you die.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, it just is. So I think both of us have reconciled that we're just going to go for it.
Mm.
We're just going to go for it. So one of the things that I finally have done that I've never done before is I set myself a publishing schedule and an ad schedule.
Nice.
Scary as hell. I don't know if I can write all that, but you know what? I'm going to try and I'm going to forgive myself if I don't. So for you, what are some of your 2023 goals?
Well, you know, you just made me think, I don't have a writing schedule like that. Like I don't have a goal like that. So, that's something to think about. I have 90 day goals that are specific. But let's see if any of them, did I write any that were related to writing?
Yeah.
Did I write any goals that were related to writing? I think I did, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. See, here's the thing. So years ago, and yes, I said years ago.
Finish pilots
and
solo show. That's personal goal for the year, right? So it's like, okay, well, what does that mean? So I need to work backwards from there. And figure out what that means.
And set yourself a time. Yeah. And mm-hmm. and see, that's the hardest thing for me because I don't want to say I'm a pantster. I do like the word organic writer as opposed to pantster. which
what
is
a pantster?
A pantster is someone who flies by the seat of their pants. They don't have a plan. Oh. They just know they have a character. They're going to write this and it's going to end like this. And that's about it. That's all they got. That's a pantster.
Oh.
A plotter is someone who legit will sit down and outline their story mm-hmm. A to Z, mm-hmm. and they know exactly what it is that is going to happen mm-hmm. at each turn. They may make some tweaks and some adjustments. Mm-hmm. That's a plotter. And then there are plansters. Okay. Mm-hmm. Plansters are folks that kind of do both.
Interesting. So, these terms do not exist in screenwriting.
I've
never heard them. Yeah.
I know. And that's something when you look blank, I'm like, oh my God, she doesn't know that. So yeah. So, a planster is someone who I am trying to be better mm-hmm. about being, which is I will write a general outline. In other words, I know I want it to be about 25 chapters. What's mm-hmm. going to happen in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter. And I just write like a sentence or two,
mm-hmm.
like in this chapter, Billy meets so-and-so. Okay. Here they're going to fight. Here they reconcile. Mm-hmm. Here that, you know, mm-hmm. it's almost like writing the meet cute and just breaking it down that way.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But one of the things that I have relearned because mm-hmm. I knew, but I didn't know was the thing about tropes. Like tropes exist in everything we write,
mm-hmm.
whether we like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just easier if you accept it and write to your tropes,
mm-hmm.
you know? So boy meets girl. Okay. Boy meets boy. Okay. Girl meets girl. Okay. You know, But just go with it and use those tropes. Is it, you know, love at first sight? Is, and I'm using romance, obviously, yeah. But is it love at first sight? Is it enemies to
hate
lovers?
Hate at first sight?
Yeah. Yeah. Hate at first lovers. Sight? Is it enemies to lovers? Mm-hmm. Is it, you know, hidden baby? You know, is it, you know, like all these things, you know? Uh-huh. Is it, oh my God, we thought we were related and we've mm-hmm. always pined for each other and we, there is no relation whatsoever, you know, mm-hmm. like things like that. And that's what makes your story. But I was never good about like really fitting those things mm-hmm. in. And the schedule thing, I don't like schedules.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. But if I don't give myself a deadline, I'm not going to do it. We are master procrastinators. We know that.
Yeah, we are. We are. So
for me, one of the things I'm working on is not procrastinating as much as I have mm-hmm. in the past.
Correct.
Just getting it done. You know, now the story that you're writing, which hopefully our next podcast will do a little bit of a reading from that.
Mm-hmm.
That's so intriguing, you know, because I know the story mm-hmm. and now you're writing it. And it's like, you know, I always wanted to write it, but I didn't know if I should. And then you're writing it. And I have some of the written stuff from it, from mommy. And it's like, oh my God, you know,
yeah.
So I want to hear what you have.
Yeah.
Because what I've heard so far is like amazing. Yeah. So
thanks. Yeah. The excerpt that I have right now is actually going to be shown on a Zoom broadcast from the theater company. So they're going to cast it and then do like a showcase, a developmental reading of all the different pieces. So that's why I don't want to read that, but I have
another piece.
Yeah. But yeah, so it's exciting. I have a 5-minute excerpt. And so far, I think, I don't know how long the piece is. The 5-minute excerpt is 2.5 pages, and the whole piece right now is like 16. So let's say it's about 30 minutes, maybe 25 yeah. minutes worth of text, you know?
Yeah.
Which is like, whoa, okay. Got to use a lot and of see, lozenges.
And see, this is so funny for me because this is so contrary to what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I'm thinking about an audiobook, I'm not thinking about the time that it takes to read it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas because you're coming at it from the screenplay, you know,
from the screenplay play
mm-hmm. you know, you yeah. have to know how much time it's going to take
mm-hmm.
to read through it.
Yeah.
So
and also,
with
actions too, because
yeah.
I haven't even put the stage directions in. So it's going to be even longer. And it's going to be action as you're, you know, going in the stage and it's just one person.
Okay. So do you like writing that way?
Yeah, it's been fascinating. I mean, that's how I'm used to working, you know,
yeah.
as a theater. I'm, you know, I came up in the theater.
Sure.
So it's cool to like, you know, and people kept asking like, what is going to happen? Like, is there, and I have already, I've been researching pictures, some of our pictures as kids and mommy's pictures, and also just researching areas in Peru where she was from and just pictures from like 40s, the 50s.
Yeah.
And just kind of finding these threads of a really interesting knowledge that I think would be really interesting to people hearing it just as a way to connect to the, you know, connect to this person's story, our mother's story,
sure.
but also connect with it from a way of like, from a lens, through a lens of history, through a lens of colonialism, through a lens of culture, through a lens of women, you know, and then women, and because it ties into, you know, my story. So it goes back and forth between like my story to mommy's story, to abuela's story, abuela Stella, to our great grandmother, you know, to different people, and it goes back and forth in time. And so the narrator, me, the, you know, whoever's doing it, the Gladys character is mm-hmm. going back and forth. And so it's a really cool journey so far, I think.
It's storytelling.
Yeah, exactly. And the people who were in the class are from countries as far as, you know, from countries like, you know, Korea and Ghana, Nigeria, and just different places. And it's been fascinating because they're all like, wow, I really heard my family there. You mm-hmm. know?
So it's funny to me because this is part of storytelling. So mm-hmm. I know we kind of wanted to just do tips and tricks, and we'll finish up mm-hmm. with some tips and stuff for 2023. But so I have to ask you, Encanto, mm-hmm. the storytelling in Encanto, okay? What did you think of the generational trauma that they finally had to face at the end?
Well, I think I saw a meme when Encanto came out, and they were talking about like, wow, a generation ago, all the Disney movies were about finding your prince, you know, and now they're all about like dealing with your generational trauma, like getting your parents to apologize, getting your abuela to apologize, whatever, like getting people to understand, like, this is what's happened. I really appreciated that. And I also thought it was very funny because it was like, oh, this thing of like, even in Frozen too, like the trauma, like the hiding of who you are, you know, like,
of course.
Who are you? Who do you have to be in order to fit into this world? I just really appreciated it. It was like this balm to my soul to watch Encanto and kind of see the abuela apologizing to Mirabel mm-hmm. I felt like was a mommy apologizing to us. I felt like
I know.
It was, you know, it
I know.
Was like,
yeah. You know, and I wonder how many other listeners felt the same way, because mm-hmm. it wasn't necessarily just, you know, a Latino, Hispanic, however you want to refer mm-hmm. to it, mm-hmm. Family. It's a generational thing. It's the experience of the immigrant too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, because you think like, you know, they always want better. They always want this. They want, but it's like they're not happy,
mm-hmm.
and that's like
they always feel like they can lose it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so funny to me because that's one of those. So there are not a lot of stories, a lot of books, a lot of movies and stuff that I will like die on that hill for, you know, mm-hmm. but this one I do, because when I worked at Disney, when Encanto had come out, you know, I knew all the songs. So I would mm-hmm. sing with the kids and stuff as they came through, and conversations I would have with the children is that abuela was I always said that this is the first Disney movie, like with no bad guy. Abuela's the bad guy. No, abuela's misunderstood.
Mm-hmm.
No one realizes what she's gone through. And they always walked away like, oh, she's not the bad guy. I'm like, no, she was never the bad guy.
Yeah. You know, she was doing the best she could.
Exactly. Exactly.
As so, are we all, right?
Yeah, exactly. And
I'm blurring
just,
out.
Yeah, wait, you are. Second. Why are you blurring out?
My camera does that sometimes.
Okay, there you are.
Right.
There you are.
I'm back.
So, but yeah, it's just one of those things. And watching Encanto and listening to you talking about a story that's basically our history, mm-hmm. Our own generational history, the one that you're working on. It's like, if we as writers were to draw more on our own histories, our characters would be richer.
Mm-hmm.
Our character development would be richer, but our hearts might be heavier
mm-hmm.
because we have to address it in order to write it.
Yeah.
But writing it is cathartic. So it's like, which is why people do memoirs. People do mm-hmm. all of that is to kind of get all of that out. So it's not just fiction. It's also in the stuff that we write that's real, mm-hmm. you know, that the reality stuff.
Right.
So
which we can like, you know, what is it? Art imitates life.
Yeah.
You know, so let it.
Yeah. That's easier said than done though.
I know. I mean, I coming from being from a performing background, like I'm like, let's do the scary thing. Okay. You know, because it's really scary. And, mm-hmm. you know, when you see an actor on screen, you know, the people who don't understand acting, they see an actor on screen. They're like, oh, I can do that. And it's like, you have no idea how much training that person went through to make it look so easy, because they're making it look really easy, but there's like a million people around them with equipment and all kinds of things. And it's like, they're, you know, the camera's right here,
mm-hmm.
right here, you know, and they have to be really, because anytime you have a camera right here in your face, like you get a little nervous. Most people, that's normal. But my point is that we get trained to do what scares us, you know, like, and just be a little bit braver and kind of, you know, our work is to like take the layers off so that we can show, so that then the camera can see our eyes and we can show all of this stuff coming up and bubbling up. Well, as writers, yeah, it can be really hard to like do that, to like kind of shed those layers. But if we can, it will inform not just our characters, but it will inform, you know, what we're doing, what we're putting out. You know, it's like just slough it off.
It's funny that you say it that way, because I will admit one of the funniest questions I ever got about something that I wrote was, are you feeling okay? and it was one of those things I was like, what? Because I guess what I wrote was so angsty that they were concerned for me. You know, and it's like, and that was just funny. But you realize, like, if you let yourself feel while you are writing, then yeah, you may not be writing to market. Yeah, you may not be making, you know, crap tons of money for that piece that you're writing. But damn, people are going to feel it when they read it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what are you writing for?
Well, and that's the thing. So what are you writing for?
Well, writing is just another way to express myself, my ideas, my stories. You know, I don't get to act all the time. You know, no actor does, right? So we do other things. You know, some people write, some people, you know, I have a business, I have a day job, I have other things that I do, but the writing, I have so many ideas and I have so many things in my life that are really good stories, you know, that I'm like, oh. I enjoy it. I enjoy it. I don't, it's a solitary practice and it doesn't guarantee any money. So, you know, if you don't like it, don't do it.
That's true. You have to enjoy it. Now, if you do, coming from the other side of it a little bit, if you do want to make money with it, you got options. Mm-hmm. You can write to market and be as prolific as you can and put stuff out there and people will read it and people will pay for it and whatever, but you may not get that satisfaction of writing what you truly want to write.
Right.
So, but in order to fund the one joy, you got to work the other one.
Well, yeah, that's what, you know, I had an acting teacher once that said, like, you know, how many people come from theater? And we all raised our hands and he said, okay, how many people are, you know, have been auditioning for TV and film for a long time. And some people raise their hands and he goes, well, you do realize that if you don't do TV and film, you won't be able to do theater because you're not going to get paid enough. Theater doesn't pay. The theater is amazing. It's live. We love it. You know, actors love theater. We're like, oh yes. The energy of the people coming towards us, doing the thing. It's different every night. It's fun and exciting and exhilarating and exhausting, completely, utterly exhausting. And it doesn't pay enough. Not even close.
Yeah.
Like I always end up broke after I do theater. And yet I have a show this year. Go figure. Yeah. In the fall. Yeah. You know, so in order to afford, and then this teacher was saying, in order to afford being able to do a show a year, you have to be able to do, you know, at least a few TV shows a year, because that's going to TV and film pay more. You go into market. That's where the market is, TV and film. People are looking at their screens.
Yeah.
So it's the same kind of thing. But in order to do that, if you do that, then, and you make some money, then you can write the thing you want.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Cause, you know, it's one of those things, like we're going to be wrapping up here shortly because we don't want to go too long. But you know, for writers going to book conferences, you know, there are some writers out there that are like, oh, yes, I got a table at such and such, and I'm going to bring this many books. But conferences aren't about that. They're not about selling. They're about connecting. They're about being on stage. That is when the author is on stage, is at a conference. Mm-hmm. You're not there for a return on your investment. You know, if you pay $300 to go to the conference and then you pay another $300 for your hotel stay, and you're not going to recoup that money generally.
not you know, at the conference.
At the conference.
Over but you'll time, you will.
It. Exactly. Yeah. You'll recoup it over time with connections, mm-hmm. with different things that are related to the writing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you want to do. So I limit myself to 2 a year. I don't know if I'll ever like bring it down to the two that I go to are the ones that I love. Mm-hmm. I may expand. I don't know, but I go for the energy like you, like for yeah. you, the stage is your energy. Mm-hmm. And for me, these cons are my energy. When I'm done, I am wiped. Mm-hmm. You cannot talk to me for a week because
yeah.
even though we're sisters, you're the extrovert.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the introverted extrovert. I have learned to be an extrovert, but that is not my comfort zone at all. And you know that.
Yeah.
It's like, Laurita, you can do it. I'm like, I know I can, but I don't want to.
I don't want to.
That's why people ask, so why'd you do a podcast? Well, initially, because nobody has to see my face.
Yeah.
But now we're going to be putting this on YouTube. So, God damn it, people are going to see my face. So, but it's about comfort zone. Mm-hmm. I think all of writing is about comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
So 2022 may have sucked for some,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of did and didn't for us because everything mm-hmm. that we go through, we learn from. I would hope, good or bad, we learn from. But 2023 is here now.
2023 is here now. And 2022 was very much like a transition year. Like, you know, people say, well, we're out of the pandemic. And yes, 2022 was kind of like the year of like leaving yeah. home again and kind of everything yes. opening up again. And yes, we're still pandemic-ed right now.
Yeah, we are. We are right? still pandemic.
You know, there's still flu, you know, flu is out now. And anyway, but 2022, it was so interesting because like things started to really open up again. And now things are in person. Now things are like mm-hmm. not anymore. Now people are just like kind of in that shift. And so 2023, I feel like it's going to just start, you know,
leveling out.
The gun will go off and people are like, yeah, let's go. Yeah. Let's do it. You know, and I think it'll level out though. But but I think it's that kind of energy right now. People are yeah. excited.
I think I'll still hoping hide behind the podcast. I'll hide behind the podcast a little bit still.
Podcast is awesome. Podcast is on my vision board from last year,
podcast.
Which I'm working on my current one now. Is this a talk show or podcast?
There we go. Podcast. And we can invite
yeah.
whoever we want on here. So like one of the reasons I started this and I know that you jumped on is because this is for writers. This is mm-hmm. writers for writers. Helping where we can. And what I would recommend is if anybody who's listening, if you have questions, you know, go to the website, send us a message, let us know. If there's a topic that you would like to have us address, you know, if we can address it, we'll address it. And if we can't, for some reason, because we know nothing about it, let's say, we will say, hey, somebody sent us this topic, but we don't know anything about it. Does anyone out there know?
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe very much in just being open about this. So
right.
if I know something, I'll say it. If I don't know, I'll be like, I don't know. We can figure it out for next time, but I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
So any parting comments or anything you'd like to give them as a tidbit?
Well, something I learned from this conversation was that I should plan out, map out my writing milestones, right? Like finish act two. Like for me, it would be finish act two, finish, you know, add all the stage directions in, you know, whatever that is, right? For each project. So I need to do that. There are four quarters in the year. So I'm going to do that by quarter. So by the first quarter, I'm going to finish one project. By the second quarter, I'll finish the second project. By the third quarter, I'll finish the third. And in the fourth quarter of the year, I will look to, you know, make sure that they are all like edited and in process. That's what I'm committing to now. So
okay.
You all are hearing me.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Sorry.
No, you're fine.
August.
And for me, this is the first time that I've actually like put pen to paper mm-hmm. and planned it out that way. Mm-hmm. So, and I did not realize how many works in progress I had. I have so many. I cannot fit them in this year.
You are your mother's daughter.
Yeah. And I, but I can't even try to fit them because if I do, I'm going to sabotage myself.
Right.
So there are some that I have to do. So I gave them, I actually wrote them all out in my planner. I'm already into 2024, but I did priorities. So like if I highlighted it red, it's like an immediate. If it's yellow, it's for this year, but it's dated like you did with the quarters.
Right.
And if it's green, it's, I can put it off. It's one of those I can put off, you know? And that's just, I just color coded it that way because if not, it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
For any author, for any writer, it's overwhelming. Just writing one thing can be overwhelming.
One thing is overwhelming. I don't know how I ended up writing a third thing when I hadn't finished the first two. That's what happened.
That's exactly what happened. So what I would recommend for everyone out there listening is always be learning. Okay. Because you take classes. I take classes. We share class. Like we do whatever we can to help each other learn more, which I am always grateful for, Gladys. But also try to learn something new every day, you know, and if you cannot, if you show up to your computer or to your notebook or however it is that you write and nothing is coming out, write yourself a positive statement. Even if you can't write anything for your story or for whatever it is you're working on, write a positive statement. Even if it's something as simple as you matter, because sometimes we don't have anyone to tell us that. And you have to be able to hear that.
Yeah.
So good.
That on that note, good.
On that note, I'm going to let you all go. Thank you so much for joining this episode of the Legion of Writers podcast. Gladys, it was awesome having you on here and I can't wait for the next episode. We're going to be trying to release these every 2 weeks. So wish us luck. That's one of our podcast goals. But we actually have it scheduled on the calendar. And we will hopefully be doing a little bit more every time. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. Trying to get my dog in here, but you'll see her next time.
No problem. Bye-bye, guys.
Bye-bye.